In the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, dear brothers and sisters. It was a night full of death. But if you looked in the right place, you would find life. It was the night before the Israelites were to leave Egypt, where they had been slaves. God had spoken to Pharaoh through his servant Moses, and he said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No, no, 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 no." About 9 times Pharaoh said no, and every time Pharaoh said no, God sent a plague. There had been water turned into blood, frogs, lice, flies, diseased livestock, boils, thunderstorms of hail and fire, locusts, darkness for 3 days. But now, the worst plague was about to happen. The firstborn of all would die. Unless you and your household took a lamb without blemish or defect. You killed that lamb. And then you painted the blood of that lamb on the sides and tops of your door frame. When you painted the blood of that lamb on the sides and top of your door frame, God would look at that blood of the lamb and his wrath would pass over you. That's what happened that night. God's people, the Israelites, left the land of slavery and death in Egypt. And they found life by the blood of the lamb. That was the setting for the first Passover meal. And that meal was to be celebrated every year by God's people to remind them of how they found life in a land of death. And over 1,400 years after that first Passover meal, Jesus was getting ready to celebrate it with his disciples. We hear in Matthew 26:18, he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And we could just blow by this and say, well, isn't that nice? Jesus just did everything that he should have. He even found the time to get that Passover meal already the night before that he died. Oh, what a good boy. And if we did that, we'd miss the deeper significance of what Jesus was doing here, of why this is so important. I mean, it's true that Jesus did everything that he should have, even getting this Passover meal all set up. But what's so mind-boggling about this isn't just that he kept the Passover meal, that he had a nice meal with his friends. What's so amazing, mind-boggling about this is that he himself was the true Passover lamb. He was the one that that meal had been pointing to for over 1,400 years. He was the fulfillment of the Passover. Listen to some of these details. These are from Exodus chapter 12. The lamb used at the Passover was to be a lamb without blemish or defect. What did John the Baptist say about Jesus? "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The lamb was to be a year old when slaughtered, having reached the full vigor and prime of its life. Jesus was 33 years old when he was slaughtered, when he was sacrificed on a cross, reaching the full vigor and prime of his life. Exodus 12:6 said, "Take care of the lambs until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. What happened as the Passover went on year by year, the lamb that was chosen to be sacrificed would actually come and live with the family for a time. And the family would often become attached to it, almost like you would if you have a pet. And then that day would come when it was time to sacrifice that lamb to kill it. And oftentimes, when Dad was picking up the lamb in his arms to go kill it, the children would object and say, "No, Dad, that's not fair. You can't go kill that lamb. That lamb has done nothing to deserve death." And then it was a teaching moment. For the father would say, "You're right, children. This innocent lamb has done nothing to deserve death, but we have. Our sins deserve death, and a sacrifice of blood will be needed to cover our sins." Think about that. Have you ever been the object of someone's wrath? It's not a very pleasant experience, whether that wrath is from direct confrontation or someone's going behind your back and gossiping and cutting you down. It's not pleasant. In fact, the trauma from that can leave scars physically or mentally, emotionally for years to come. It's not pleasant to be the object of someone's wrath. It hurts. But to be the object of God's wrath? That destroys. That kills. And that's what the Passover teaches. That our sins were so serious that they deserve death. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to die. We deserve to be the objects of God's wrath. Our sins of lying and cheating, of lusting, of gossiping, of hating, of raging, of loving ourselves so much, but being so lukewarm in our love for God and others. Those sins aren't cute. Those sins can't be explained away by saying, "Well, you know, that's just who I am." Or, "Well, everyone else does it too." No. Those sins are serious. Those sins deserve death and God's wrath and hell. And so a real sacrifice was needed. Pay for my sins and yours too. And that's what Jesus did. The lambs at the Passover were sacrificed at twilight, when the day was drawing to a close and things were getting so dark. So around 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slaughtered as the day grew dark on that Good Friday and the light grew dim and the day drew to a close. That's how serious our sins are, but that's how serious he was about saving you. And because he, the true Passover lamb, was sacrificed, God's wrath now passes over you. Because Jesus fulfilled the Passover by doing everything needed to save you, God doesn't look at your sin. He looks at the blood of Jesus that was shed for your sin. Remember what happened to that first Passover? God didn't look at those sinful Israelites. He looked at the blood of the lamb that was painted on the wooden frames of their doorposts. Well, on Good Friday, Jesus painted his blood on a wooden cross for you and for me. And now, God doesn't look at my sin. He looks at the blood of the Lamb, which covers my sin and covers your sin. And that blood gives you life. That blood makes you priceless in God's sight. What does that mean for you right now? Listen to how beautifully this is described in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That passage said we were redeemed or bought by God with something. Not silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb, Passover lamb, without blemish or defect. You know, something's really only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. Growing up, I loved to collect baseball cards. I have a few that are worth a little bit of money. But do you know why they're valuable? It's not because the cardboard is very special. It's just common cardboard. But they're valuable because of what people are willing to pay for them. If you had a 1952 Mickey Mantle, you'd have something that's worth a lot of money. About $5.2 million. It was one of those were sold for that about a year ago. But why is it so valuable? Not because that 1952 Mickey Mantle is made of such amazing cardboard. No, the material is not what makes it valuable. It's because of what someone's willing to pay for it. Where does your value come from? What God is willing to pay for you. The blood of the Lamb, Jesus, that's what you were bought with. That's what you were redeemed by. Well, that means that you are worth the blood of Jesus in God's sight. He was willing to pay that for you. I didn't check the NASDAQ today to see what the blood of God is trading for. Obviously, it's not on there. But that's what God was willing to pay for you. He was willing to buy you with Jesus' blood. You're priceless in His sight. And that changes your life now and your purpose of life forever. A Yale professor named Lori Santos teaches a course on being happy. And in an interview with the New York Times, she said that her college students are hyper-focused on perfection and unsure about the meaning of life. And she observes that today's teens put themselves under intense pressure to do the exact right things in the exact right order in a way that previous generations perhaps didn't. She says that when they aren't following this path to perfection, they struggle to understand what the purpose of living is and what their identity and worth is. Maybe teens aren't the only ones who feel like this. How do you find the meaning of life? How do you find your identity and your worth? Well, you look for it. Yeah, you look for it. Look for it where? Look to the praise and adoration of the people in the world around you? Oh, no, never there. And be thankful for the healthy human relationships that you have. But the people in the world around you are fickle sinners. And one day they might praise you and adore you, and the next day they might ghost you and ignore you. But just like Peter and those disciples did to Jesus the night before he died. Look for it. Look where? Oh, look to your own accomplishments, your own wonderfulness. No, never there. For one moment we might be so confident and secure in ourselves, so proud of ourselves, wondering how the world ever spun around once without us. And in the next moment, we might be filled with despair and shame and anxiety, wondering how we could ever get anything in this world done. Look where? Or to your own feelings. Oh no, never there. Our feelings are up and down. They're not always accurate either. At times, we rejoice in ourselves and we should probably repent. And at other times we condemn ourselves and we should have compassion on ourselves. No, our feelings aren't good either. Well, look where? Well, look to the one place where you can find true worth, true identity, true purpose, true hope, true life, now and forever. Look to Jesus, the Passover Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world and who takes away your sin. Yes. Look at His blood shed for you. Look at His love poured out upon you. Look upon this in the best of times and the worst times, in happiness and sadness, in death and in life. And as you do, rejoice and give thanks, for God's wrath has passed over you and God's love is poured down upon you. Yes, in this life full of death. Look at Jesus, the Lamb of God, and you will find life forever. Amen. May the peace and love of our God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.